Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this wonderful morning. I just got up early and watched the sun come up, and it was just beautiful. And it makes you appreciate the gift of God, that he gives us a new day, morning by morning, new mercies we see. And the word that God gave me was this morning, the heavens declare the glory of God. And when I looked at the sunrise, that's exactly what I felt, the glory of God. And I can do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And as I pray every day, Lord God, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be your child, to be given another day to give you honor, another day to give you glory, another day to give you praise. For you are my Father God, and I'm your humble servant, open and ready to receive whatever you pour into me, Lord God, that I may pour it out to those that are listening. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Father God, today I pray over the sick and the shut-in. I pray over those that are bereaved, those that are thinking of loved ones that have gone on, those that have ailments, Lord God, that they feel can't be cured, but we know you can. You can and you do, God. So, Father God, as I lift up travelers as well as our children going to school, God, keep our children covered under the blood of Jesus. And no hurt, no harm, no danger come nigh any school in this nation, in this world today. Keep our children safe, God. And Lord, I pray for those that are walking that tightrope between heaven and hell, who are watching and listening to music of demons, God. And Lord, yes, we see those that have all that power, winning awards and doing things. But God, we know that you are in charge and that they're getting all they get right here on earth. But they're missing the mark of the higher calling. So, Father God, I pray for all those that have not walked in the path of righteousness, but still walk in the path of darkness. Father God, I pray that they will one day find their lighted square, that they will find their path of light towards you, God. And, Father God, I thank you for a wonderful service on yesterday at our church, God. I thank you for each speaker who came with the rhema word, God. I thank you for our pastor who spoke on love, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for the united choir that sang and were wonderful, God. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over and to bless us in Jesus' name. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us joy. Give us peace. Give us all things, Lord God, that come from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whew. Thank you, God, again, for another day. He didn't have to give us a day. He didn't have to wake us up this morning, but he did. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Giving God thanks. So many times we ask, but we never say thank you. So this morning, just join me and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity for a do-over. Help me to get my life in order, God. If you are having some issues, ask God to lead and guide you, because he will, because he loves you like that. And so this morning, I'm doing something a little different. I missed one of my prayers for this past weekend. So I'm going to do Saturday's prayer this morning, and then we are going to go back. And we will do our prayer for today. And so we'll be back in order. And I just wanted to start with this prayer because it just fit into the gloriousness of God. And it says, power supply. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Isaiah 40:29. Mighty God, where I am limited, you are limitless. I center myself in the knowledge of your love that meets me wherever I am. When I feel like I have nothing more to give, when my body is physically sick and unable to do what it once could, I will call on you for help. When my emotional capacity is running dangerously low, let me remember that you are the source in which all my needs are met. Though I reach the limits of my humanity on a regular basis, you embody the abundance of life. Instead of beating myself up for not being stronger or able to do more, I will look to you, the pursuer of my heart, the mighty one who fights for me. Every battle I face is an opportunity to lean into your love, where all strength and power is found. I cannot do this on my own, nor do I want to. Strengthen me today with the power of your presence within and around me. I need you. And the word for today with our scripture for this morning is, what weakness can you invite God's strength in to today? And that was our word for Saturday that we didn't get a chance to go over. And I just wanted to share it because it was such a good word. When I'm weak, God is strong. He keeps us going. All we have to do is trust in him. And again, the word for today is, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And we declare the glory of God. And as we get into our scripture this morning, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. This is Blog Talk Radio, and this is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. Scripture for this morning is Exodus chapter 23 to chapter 24, the 19th Psalm, verses 1 through 6, which is where our title comes from this morning. We are also coming out of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 through 31. And we are continuing in Matthew chapter 23, starting at verse 23 through 39. And we will be finishing up Matthew chapter 23 today. So get your Bibles, because this is Bible study. And again, please go with me to Exodus chapter 23. And I am coming out of the New King James Bible. I will have a few life lessons today. And I am going to go back, if time permits, to go over a life lesson from Exodus. I believe it was chapter 19 that we didn't get it on last Friday, on Old Testament Friday, because time didn't permit. We had quite a bit of word on Friday. But I do want to hit this, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. I do want to get that in before we leave this morning. So we will go back over that life principle this morning again, if time permits. So please join me in Exodus chapter 23 as we get started this morning. And again, I am coming out of the New King James Version. And for my King James readers, you should be able to follow me pretty well. New King James is pretty close to King James, except for the thems and thous And there are some words like in the King James Version for like when you go to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 13 and when it talks about love being patient, 1 Corinthians 13, love being patient and kind, it talks about charity. Charity and love are interchangeable between New King James and King James. So just an FYI, there's certain words that they will change a little bit, like long-suffering for patience, those kind of things. So let's keep it moving and let's move forward. And it says this, you shall not circulate a false report. And remember, we just came off of the top 10 on Friday, which says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, thou shalt not lie, basically, is what the word is. So, again, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Come on now, don't be lying. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Ooh, I was getting ready to go there, but Lord, I'm going to keep my mouth. But understand, oh, no, I am going to go there. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. January 6th, when there was an insurrection attempt in our nation's capital. This is a word for those that are Christians that went after this nonsense. Where you said, oh, the election was not, it was fake. Wrong. The word of God is right here. We need to read it. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Wow. All you have to do is open the word, and God will give you everything you need. He will give you what you need to see. He will give you that highlightable. Hallelujah. That's a highlightable. That's one of them underlines in your word. You need to underline that. Because God will show you everything you need when you need it. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's oxen on his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You just of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false manner. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Now again, God is putting this stuff where, as they say, putting it out there so you can see it. For those folks who thought it was all right and policemen to beat to death a young man, and never once he kept saying, what did I do? And it was never answered. But they beat that poor young man to death. Be yourself far from a false manner. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Come on now. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Bam! Everything is in the word of God. All you got to do is open the book. Hallelujah. Also, you shall not oppress a stranger, but you know the heart of a stranger because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. America gets a reality check. One day, we will pay for the sins that have gone on in this nation. The blood, the sweat, and the tears of many. And the hate that it was given over stupidity. On last night, you know, for Black History Month, I'm trying to look at different historical movies. And last night I watched the Ruby Bridges story. This poor little baby, 6 years old, just hate spewed at her to the point where she wouldn't eat because she thought this older woman who didn't look like her screaming horrible things at this baby as the marshals walked her into school every day. And they would tell her, don't look back, Ruby. The hate you give. All because this little girl wanted to get a good education. And, oh, who outscored everybody but the principal? Or said, oh, no, we're going to put her, no, we don't think that's correct. When she earned her scores, but she was going to adjust the scores because she had private tutoring. And the question is, why? Because you wouldn't put her in the classroom with the other children because she was not Caucasian. Hatefulness because of what's on the outside. That's not a God. But yet you want to say you're a Christian. And when a pastor came with his child and said, no, I'm not dealing with this foolishness, and he started taking it, and it's like, you know, you're a traitor because he said, my daughter's going to get an education, and I don't care if this little girl that's going to school with her has skin that doesn't look like hers. We've got to understand. But the one thing that I loved about this movie, and I'm sharing it with you, is this little girl had a mama who was a powerful woman of God. She was a prayer warrior. And she taught her child to pray. And I, as a minister who deals with youth, I want to say that is one thing I'm going to make sure that our children know how to pray. And that she taught her daughter to pray for your enemies. And every day, this little girl, 6 years old, would pray for the people that hated her because of the color of her skin and the opportunity that she was given to go to a better school with better books, because separate was not equal. She prayed every morning in that Marshall's car for all these mothers and fathers and people outside screaming profanity, threatening her life. She prayed for them every morning. Every morning, the heavens declare the glory of God. This little girl named Ruby Bridges in New Orleans, all these mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, cursing at her, telling her that they wish she was dead. One woman said, I'm going to poison you. One woman put a black doll in a coffin. They had dolls hanging, with the black dolls hanging from ropes. She was a baby. And folks forgot that she's no different from your babies. Skin was a little different. So I say in this month of Black History, pray for our nations. Pray for nations that have been colonized. Pray for nations that have had slavery. Pray for nations that have been built on blood, sweat, and tears of the oppressed. Pray. Because the enemy is trying to take us backwards and not forward. Love everybody. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my sisters that don't look like me. Grateful for them in my life. I'm grateful for my friends from childhood that didn't look like me, but they are still my friends. I'm thankful for the love of God. And I'm thankful that we pray, and that I taught my sons to pray. Teach your children to pray so they will be like Ruby Bridges, and pray for those that try to oppress them. And one morning, this little girl turned around, and her mouth was moving. And her psychologist, just happened to have been there. And he asked, he said, Ruby, why did you turn around? And what did you say? And she said, I normally pray for everybody out there before I get to school, but I forgot to do it that morning. So I turned around and I prayed. And so as we go to our word, back into our word, let us pray for those that oppress us. Let us pray for those that mistreat us. Let us pray for our enemies. Let us pray for our friends. Let us continue with the power of prayer. And it goes on to say in verse number 10 of Exodus chapter 23, 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your oxen and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed to the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruit of your labor, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of gathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labor from the field. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy of your adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you in to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send harness before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hands, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Chapter 24. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord had said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you, according to all these words. Then Moses went up also, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hands. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. Again, highlightable, which I have written. Moses did not write the Ten Commandments. God did it. And Moses went up to get the tablets. You know, the Lord said in his word that I have written. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. My boo, I have to say that I love me some Joshua. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. And as we go back into chapter 19, for the life principles, because we know that God was given the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. And this is what it says. Dr. Stanley, thank you so much. Again, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. It is a daily Bible where we will have read and we have read and will read again the Word of God, God willing, in 1 year. We did this on last year, starting January 1st of 2022 through December 31st of 2022. And we read from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelations chapter 21, verse 22. Amen. In 1 year. So if you join us, you will have heard or read the Bible in 1 year. And it says this, obedience can be a challenge, as to believe that we can't stand to lose more through our obedience than we might have gained. Obeying God is essential to pleasing him, however, not just in times of temptation, but at all times. When God commands us to obey him, he is giving us a principle by which to live. He is also setting a framework around our lives that forms a hedge of protection from evil. Can you remember the last time you felt tempted to do the opposite of what you knew God desired you to do? A struggle erupted within your heart. The question arose, will obeying God cost me more than disobeying him? Can I experience a greater happiness by committing this sin than I would by obeying God? When we choose to obey God, we choose the way of wisdom. His promises of blessing for obedience far outweigh any possible consequences. He asks us to obey him and leave whatever happens to him. As we grow in our walk with the Lord, obedience becomes a cornerstone of fellowship with God. If we obey him, he pulls us closer to himself and teaches us more about his precepts and his love. Disobedience sends a message to the Lord declaring that we know better than he does when it comes to our lives and the circumstances surrounding them. God loves us and is committed to us. He commands our obedience, not because he is a strict taskmaster, but because he knows the devastating effect that disobedience and sin will have on our lives. Satan, however, has another goal in mind. He seeks to tempt believers to disobey God, usually by telling them that God's promises cannot be trusted and that we can enjoy life more through disobedience than by our obedience. The devil is a liar, and there ain't no truth in him. Remember, disobedience always has fierce repercussions, feelings of guilt, shame, and worthlessness, broken lives, destroyed marriages, and bitter disputes among them. While sin can never change God's eternal love for his children, it certainly disrupts our fellowship with the Savior and alienates us from God's blessings. In times of disobedience, we become spiritually weak and unable to discern right from wrong. We sink deeper into sin's grasp and find it impossible to reverse our sinfulness on our own. As we begin to apply the following principles to our lives, we will begin to obey God with confidence and joy, knowing that he can be fully trusted to keep all his promises. The first thing that we must do is trust God with your life and all that concerns you. There is no way to go wrong if you place your hope and trust in God. He created you. He loves you with an eternal love. Therefore, you are his greatest concern and the apple of his eye. Wait on the Lord for an answer to your problem or situation. When in doubt, refuse to move ahead unless you know that God is leading you. Come on now. Ooh, hallelujah. Meditate on God's word. When you saturate your mind with the word of God, you gain God's viewpoint. Temptation comes, you will know right from wrong and can act accordingly. Number 4, listen to the Holy Spirit. God continues to speak to his people today. He speaks to us through his word, the Holy Spirit, and through the words of a pastor or trusted Christian friend. We become sensitive to the Spirit of God by seeking him through his word and by spending time with him, praying and studying the principles in Scripture. Number 5, be willing to wait or walk away when the way before you is unclear. If you desire to please God above all others, obedience to God will require you to remain firm. If you do not sense clear guidance in your situation, ask God to confirm his will to you in his word. He will never contradict Scripture. He will, for your life, always line up perfectly with what the Bible says. Number 6, be willing to endure conflict. When Israel entered the promised land of God's direction, it had to face strong enemy opposition. God rarely empties our lives of trouble and conflict. If he did, our dependence on him would fade. He allows enough difficulty to keep us turned toward him. Number 8, leave the consequences to God. Obedience may not be viewed as popular, but it will always put you in a favorable position before God. Therefore, stay on the path of obedience and leave the rest to him. I like to say, stay in your square. God's got you covered. Hallelujah. And as we go back to some life lessons from chapter 23 and chapter 24 of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 22, if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy of your enemies. As we travel the journey of life, it comforts and empowers us to know that our God gives us his loyalty. and protection against the spiritual enemies and pitfalls we are sure to encounter. Hallelujah. And as we continue, it says in Exodus 24 and 10, they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. Biblical descriptions of God tend to focus more on the surroundings of God than on the Lord himself, primarily because he is beyond description. But what a wonder that this majestic God calls us his own. And our word for today is coming out of the 19th Psalm, verse 1. It's to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. I got to say that one more time. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming into his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. And as we go to life lesson verse, the 19th Psalm, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Go outside on some clear night and just stare up into the sky for several minutes. Soak in the grandeur and majesty and vastness of the starry host, and then think, my God made all this. Tell you, I do that on a regular basis. I just like to look up and to, you know, I push back the sunroof on my car. And there's a way I can push the seat all the way back like a bit. Excuse me. And when I do that, and just especially in the summertime when it's warm, it's too cold to do that right now. But in the summertime, I have push back my sunroof and just laid and looked up and talk about something that is beautiful, that it brings tears to your eyes, is to think that my daddy made all of that and that he loves me. It does something to your spirit. And as I think on it, I get filled up. God is. And that he loves us so much that he made us, and that he made all the stars in the sky, which are planets, our moons, our suns, that orbit planets that God made, that he made this vast, unimaginable universe, and that he loves us. Wow. I'm getting filled up. And I have a life question for you this morning. The praise of the heavens. How do the heavens declare God's glory? Can they sing? Do the stars and planets tell tales of God's splendor? You shouldn't be surprised that the answer is yes. The heavens reflect of the brilliance of Almighty God. And though the trillions of stars in the universe together are dim in comparison to the magnificence of God, through them we begin to understand glory, Romans 1 and 20. Yet look at what else displays the handiwork and praise of God. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. We show the world God's glory when we obey him, when we do what he has planned for us. However, what we must always remember is, as we serve, is that we reflect his glory. Just as a sculpture exhibits the ability of the artist, or a poem reveals the skill of a writer, We are merely the vessels through which his splendor shines, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. We praise him best when we are just doing as he says and when we are not trying to steal the credit for ourselves. You better say it. That is why it is so important that we heed Jesus' instruction in Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That means the next time God does wonderful things through us, we will direct all the glory, honor, and praise to him. After all, he truly deserves it. Proverbs 6:30-31, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, we must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the sustenance of his house. Tells us not to steal because he does provide. He said if he provides for the birds of the field, why do we think he won't provide for us? God is a provider. He is a provision giver. All we have to do is believe. Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 39. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, but you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guys who strain out of gnats and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Come on now. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, rude vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Come on now. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Woo! Jesus didn't play. He didn't play then, and he surely will not be playing when he comes again. And that is the reality. Our Savior didn't play. He spoke the truth, and the truth is what set us free. We got to trust in God and know that our Daddy God is omnipotent. The heavens declare the glory of God, and so should we. Matthew chapter 23, verse 28. You also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. God despises disobedience of any kind, but he seems to have a special agent for religious pretense. Why? Perhaps because those who only pretend to love God do a great job of keeping others away from God. Come on now. And I'm going to call it hateful Christians. You know, talk about loving God, but hate your neighbor. Talk about loving God, but hate everything and everybody. Always got a nasty frown on your face. Every time you talk to somebody, you're looking all hateful. And then you look at people that don't look like you and give them the eyes up. And give them that, like, who are you to be in my church? Not a God. When you tell somebody, well, you know there's a church down the road that you can go to, okay? Not a God. God wants us to be inclusive. God wants us to love our brothers and our sisters because we are all family. Get that. Take it. Understand it. We are all family. We all descended from Noah and his wife and his sons. We all did. We cousins. Maybe 5 zillion generations removed. But we all came from Noah. And Noah came from your generation, which means we all are descendants of Adam and Eve through Noah and his son. So get over yourselves. We're family. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. We're family. And it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. Because it's all the blood. It's what sustains us. And the blood in your DNA came from Noah. And we need to get over ourselves and all the hatred and bigotry that does not come from God. But yet you want to scream how much you love God. How much you hate this and hate that. It's more hate coming out of the church than love. We hate this person. We hate that person. We hate this. We hate. And you hear him say, we hate this. And that's not God. God is not a God of hate. It's a God of love. And we got to love the sinner. You can hate that sin. You can dislike that sin. You can pray that sin away. But you cannot hate the person. I love them. Matthew 23:37. How often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. God's greatest desire for us is always to develop and nurture a growing, satisfying relationship with him. He created us for deep fellowship with him. But we make the choice whether we will fulfill our purpose. We make that choice. The heavens declare the glory of God. And we need to as well. And before we go this morning, that's all our word. A prayer for today. For this 6th day of March. I'm sorry. I'm trying to rush the month. This 6th day of February. Inspired to please. Matthew 6:1 NCV. Be careful when you do good things. Don't do them in front of people to be seen by them. If you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Lord, in a world full of ambition, help me to remember that you are the ultimate audience. Give me a heart that rests in the fact that nothing I do out of a heart of love is overlooked by you. When I work for the good of those around me, I ask that you keep my mind coming back to the truth that whether or not it's seen or recognized by those around me is worth doing. Help my heart to remain humble and down to earth in its intentions that I wouldn't be looking for recognition or praise from others. Good things done without a true heart and satisfaction. However, the greater return of investment will not be received. I'm playing the long game here, fully invested in you even when the returns feel small in the moment. I don't want action without the heart behind it, and neither do you. You have my heart. Let my offerings be out of the overflow of a life lived for you. Hallelujah. If you look at the way you live your life, both privately and publicly, do you see a difference between the attitude of your heart. Hallelujah. Are you giving God praise today? Just join me for a hot minute here. And let me just say, thank you, Father God. I praise you, Father God. I give you all of me, Father God. I thank you for another day, Father God. I lift up, look up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for this day that he has, ooh, let us declare and be grateful that he loves us. And our word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning from Carolyn's Gift is this. Even though you're not where you want to be, thank God that you're not where you used to be. Hallelujah. Keep making the journey and don't quit until you arrive. There's a blessing in the pressing. Have a motivated Monday, family. If there is anyone that has a word from God and would like to speak, now is the time to push the number one on your phone and open your line. If not, we are getting out a little early today from our service, as they say. We are having that first closing and thanking God that he has given us a mighty word today. So I thank you all for listening in, and I ask you all to please keep my pastor in your prayers. Today is the one-year anniversary of the death of her husband and our assistant pastor, our co-pastor, Pastor Paul, who died on this day a year ago. His birthday is also coming up, so this is going to be a little bit difficult month, but we know she's strong in the Lord. But I just ask you to please keep Pastor Jesse in your prayers on today. I've been there, and I know what it's like on the day of the death. But we are going to rejoice because we know, ooh, hallelujah, this is his heavenly birthday. When we are absent from this earthly body, we are in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because God's word says so. So we know that he is in the presence of the Lord, just as I know my husband, my late husband, is in the presence of the Lord. So I rejoice on his heavenly birthday, and I rejoice today with my pastor. So rejoice and keep praying your prayers as we lift up the name of Jesus, knowing that all is well. Thank you so much, family. Again, if there's anybody that would like to speak, now is the time. Going once, going twice, and it is finished. Our closing has happened. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed. Keep trusting in God and knowing that all things are working for good. Because you love the Lord and you trust in him. Have a great day. And just remember, as you go through the day and you look up and you see the magnificence of God, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And you just look up and say, Lord God, I declare your glory. And I thank you for this day that you have made. I am rejoicing in it because you gave it to me. You woke me up this morning. You're sending me on my way. And all I can say, Lord God, is I give you praise. Have a blessed day, family, because there's a blessing in the present. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Thank you all. Have a blessed day. It's a what? It's a wrap. And what do we say? May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. A special shout out to the woman that I love so much, Mother Rita. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I see your number, and I just wanted to say the highlight of my weekend was coming to see your beautiful smile. And I thank God for you, and I'm getting off of this show and wrapping it up before I start crying because I was just so happy. I'm happy that God gave me another day. And I, whoo, Lord, help me not waste it or throw it away. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed. It is a wrap.